So surrender. I thought I would talk about this because it has been a big theme in my life for the past few years. And surrender actually is, as you may or may not know, how Aiden and I became administrators for SLC. I've been practicing surrendering for a while, and when we were asked to be administrators, and at first I was like, no. And then I was like, wait, we're supposed to be surrendering. So whatever life gives us, we take. And so I was like, okay. And I think my biggest act of surrender in the past 2 years is actually moving to Franklin. So we had been talking, Aiden and I, about leaving Gainesville. I didn't love my job. In fact, I really didn't like my job at all. And my kids were growing, and my youngest was in high school, a senior. And so she was leaving, and then we were going to be, you know, living in Gainesville, and, you know, really not tied there. So we were thinking about moving, and we're looking for some other place to live. And Aiden had researched a whole bunch of different places. And so we decided to go on a college tour and like a house tour, you know. So we brought my daughter, and she wanted to go to school in North Carolina. So we brought her to some schools here, and we looked at different places, and we drove down the mountain, and we turned into the street that our house is on, and we saw our house, and he and I both were like, oh, that's it. I mean, it was there, you know, it just felt right. And, but of course, you know, we tour the house, we go with my daughter, and she's like, this is the ugliest house ever. There's so many spiders. It's so scary. Because nobody had lived there for 2 years. So yeah, it was a little scary, but, and so she's like, no, no, no. But we were like, okay, we'll try. And so we put in a really low offer, not a really low, but pretty low. And the realtor's like, no, no way. And so we're like, well, we're just, you know, we'll surrender. Like if it happens, it happens, you know. And we go home, and the realtor calls and says, I can't believe it, but she took your offer, you know. And we were like, oh my God. And it just felt like, you know, we just surrendered. Like, you know, we didn't like, are, you know, push and pull or fight for, we just allowed. And so here we are, and it's been a wonderful journey, right? So why on earth would someone want to surrender? The definition of surrender is to cease resistance to an enemy or an opponent and to submit to their authority, right? Yeah, it's really harsh. I looked that definition up yesterday or the other day when I was writing my speech, and I was like, wow. But when I was sitting there in my chair earlier, I was thinking, okay, well, who do I surrender to? My enemy. And, you know, almost sometimes when you have, I don't know if you have those days, but I have those days where I get up, I get dressed, and I look in the mirror, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, do I want to wear this? Do I not want to wear this? Oh my God. You know? And then I'm like, that's the enemy in my head. Right. And so I'm thinking, if I just surrender and let go, cease resistance to the enemy. So I just let that enemy in my head go, then I can move on with my day, and it's actually okay. But in my speech, what I was thinking of is, who am I surrendering to? If you asked me this 10 years ago, I never would have said, like, I'm surrendering to God, or I'm surrendering to the universe, or I'm surrendering to the flow. Because to me, surrender felt like an act of submission. And to me, submission meant weakness. And I was always one to grind through, to push my way, to, you know, try to achieve those goals I set. I mean, I'm type A, so that's what you do, right? You know, we're supposed to go to work, make money, get a big house, have lots of things, have the kids that have those accomplishments, so I can write it in my Christmas cards and be like, hey, look what my kids did. right? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? I don't know. But what does surrender have to do with spirituality? I mean, when I thought about this, most religions do ask you to surrender, right? They ask you to surrender to their God and their rules. And so maybe surrender really is a spiritual concept. Maybe we are all looking, we should be looking to surrender to something. But what about those of us, me, that don't really congeal with organized religion? It doesn't really, like, you know, affect me. I don't really love it, actually. So who do I surrender to? Maybe it's the universe, or maybe it's the flow of life. And then wait, what is spirituality? Like, spirituality involves the recognition of a feeling or sense of belief that there is something greater than myself, something more to being human than the sensory experience. And the greater whole of which we are part of is cosmic or divine in nature. So how I looked that up. So how do we get to the place where we feel or we recognize that we are more than our own individual selves? Like maybe we read books, maybe we practice practices, maybe we go to church, maybe we go to temple. To me, one of the most key parts of spirituality actually is ritual when I was thinking about it. And what is ritual? Ritual is a formal or customarily repeated act or a series of acts or a solemn ceremony. So as a child, my father is a scientist. And so his parents were Christian, Catholic actually, but he was very scientific. So I learned, you know, about evolution. We did not go to church and I didn't really understand church. I didn't know why you would go, why you participate. I mean, some of my friends went and I understood that there was like a fellowship and they did things together and there was kind of a ritual and, but I didn't get it. And then I came across an article. I didn't get why you would want to do that. And I think that rituals provide meaning and shared connection and they make experiences memorable. And in researching for this talk, I came across an article that actually explained collective rituals. And they don't have to be religious. They could be like a wedding or a graduation. So when you have a collective ritual, they require sometimes rehearsal. They require coordination and synchronicity in a group. Sometimes they require you to chant or talk in unison. And when you do this acting as a group, it makes you feel connected, but actually it makes your heart rate synchronize and it increases serotonin. It was actually, they did some research on it. And I thought, oh, how interesting, you know, so that ritual actually affects our bodies. And so back to me. So as a teen, I tried to fit in, you know, I tried to figure out where I fit. Like, don't we all, when we're teens, we kind of rebel against what our parents have taught us. And then where do I fit in spirituality? What group? I craved connection, but I also craved connection to my spirit, like connection to others, but and to my spirit. But I did a kind of a lot of solitary things because I didn't know how to find a group. And also, if you're not part of a group as a child, it kind of feels weird to me. It felt weird to me to try to find a group. And so I tried to hone my own beliefs. But you know what? It's easier to know what you don't, or it was easier for me to know what I didn't believe than what I did. So I didn't believe that Jesus died for my sins on the cross. Sorry for those who do, but I didn't believe that. And I didn't believe in God up there looking down on me here, like, this is your life and this is what you should do, because I believe in free will. And I also, it didn't feel right that there would be a supreme being and he's like, oh, let's do this. And then all these people kill each other for religion, you know? So I didn't believe that. What I found was yoga. And, you know, so at first I was only doing exercise because that's what that's where I learned it. My mom was doing it. She had a DVD and I was doing it for exercise and I loved it. And then I started attending classes and there's something different about doing a practice, even if it's spiritual on your own, and then doing a practice with others. As we know, when you're in a room with others, or I just said, you know, you kind of get that connection, that energy. And I didn't realize it at the time, but it was actually a ritual, right? We moved in unison. We talked in unison. Sometimes we did a chant at the end or we said namaste at the end and everybody did that. And so it provided a lot of connection. And so I decided, you know, to look more into the spiritual side of yoga. And I found a lot of it really interesting, but it's Eastern philosophy. And I grew up in the West. So some of it didn't connect. You know, there's a lot of, also in the yoga community, there's a lot of different little sects of people and they want you to do it their way. Some people are like, you must be vegetarian. Some people are like, you have to wear all white. You know, you have to do it this way. You have to do it that way. And so it felt really pushy and kind of business-like, you know, and a little fake, to to be honest. So I tried other things. I tried Buddhism. I tried witchcraft. I tried mysticism, tried mushrooms. Yeah, I actually had a spiritual awakening during my mushrooms. And then I forgot it when I woke up. So whatever. I mean, not when I woke up, but when I came back down, I remember thinking, oh, and then I was like, wait, what was that? But I didn't write it down. So, but I kept going back to yoga. And so I decided to become a yoga teacher. Now in my yoga teaching class, they typically don't teach a lot of philosophy. I learned a little bit about it, but I learned more about, the postures and connecting to yourself. And, but I did find a deep inner peace in Shavasana. That's what you do at the end of class when you lay down and you relax and you spend that time on your, it's kind of like a meditation on your back. And I also found a connection in the community and others that experienced the same thing with me. And in short, in yoga, I found my ritual. And so why do we crave rituals? We find that we need rituals to help us connect to our deepest thoughts. This is Teddy Prout, the director of community services in the UK. We connect our deepest thoughts and feelings in these profound occasions, our highest hopes and our most debilitating fears. The need for ritual is innate. It is born of a deep need to articulate times of profound experience and transition, and is an essential part of what makes us and keeps us human. And, you know, when I thought about ritual more, I thought about when I'm writing this, I thought about, you know, I think I actually found ritual in other ways. I did a lot of running and I enjoyed running races. And if you think about running a race, so I'm going to a place where all these other people are doing the same thing as me. We start at the same time. We end at the same time. We have the same goal. We're doing it separately and yet together. And there is a deep feeling of community there. And then I also thought about concerts. Like if you go to a music concert and everybody's there listening to the music, we're all doing the same thing. Often we're singing together. One of my biggest spiritual experiences when I was younger, and I didn't connect that it was spiritual until later, was actually a concert. And it was a U2 concert. And I was with a friend who I didn't know that well. And we were way up in the nosebleed seats and but there was such an overwhelming energy flow. I had never felt that before in my life. I could feel it coming from the band and coming back to them from the audience. And it was amazing. And then recently, a couple of years ago, I was at a football game with my daughter. I was actually working it with her. We worked the concession stand. But at the end of the football game, the UF football game, a lot of the fans that were left were on the football players on the field sang the same song. And it was like such, and there was again that palpable feeling of energy coming back and forth. And I thought, well, maybe these sports events are also kind of a ritual. I mean, you go there, you wear the same thing, you're all with a group cheering. I mean, it was almost sacred that time when everybody sang. It was definitely a thing that they did every time at the end of the games. And so, okay, we talked about ritual a lot, but where does surrender come in? Well, it came in my life when I was at the Unity Church in Gainesville. We were members of the book club there and we read The Surrender Experiment by Mickey Singer. And you know what? I didn't love that book. When I first read it, I was like, okay, so he's saying all these things happened to him because he let go and they were all really amazing things. Okay. I didn't get it. You know, like I didn't get how to surrender. Like, did he really surrender? And if you haven't read the book, I'll just read you a blurb from Amazon. It says, in the surrender experiment, Michael Singer tells the extraordinary story of what happened when, after a deep spiritual awakening, he decided to relinquish his personal fears and desires and simply let life unfold. And so, I mean, the book, I don't know. But anyway, in the book club, we also read his other book, The Untethered Soul. And that is his first book. And then the second book was The Surrender Experiment. Actually, his other books, but those are his first most famous. And also, I just didn't connect with that much. I felt like that one was a little verbose. And I felt like since I had been doing yoga and meditation, I had learned a lot of those practices already. But that makes sense because Mickey is a devout yogi and a meditator. And that is where he learned a lot of like he found a lot of his spiritual practices. But our book group from Unity was like, let's go to the temple because we're in Gainesville and the temple is in Alachua. It's like going to Otto. And so he has talks and he has a Sunday service. And so we went to one of his talks. And when you go to the temple, it is so much more than just a place. You walk and the space is very sacred. You walk in, it's in the woods. So you kind of park far away and you have to walk through the woods. It's a beautiful building that he built. He writes about it in the Surrender Experiment. He built, it smells wonderful because it's a cedar building. You take off your shoes before you go inside. You go inside and it's quiet because they don't speak. It's a, you have a seated meditation before the talk. So you take off your shoes, you sit on the floor. Some people sit in chairs and you meditate. And then there's an altar and he has pictures of his gurus there. And then when he comes in, he sets more sacred space. He sings a song, a chant, and then he gives his talk. And then after his talk, he does an arti, which is a ritual where you devote light and a song to all his gurus and he goes through the gurus. So it's a very enclosed and sacred space. And that first visit was transformational. When he speaks, it's basically the same things that you hear in his book, read in his books, but it's so much more because it's the connection of the person talking and you, and I got it more. And perhaps it was a little bit of the ritual that brought me back. It definitely felt sacred. So Aiden and I started going more. We stopped really going to Unity and we started going to the temple. And we went to chanting. They have chanting on Tuesday evenings. And we went to yoga and I started teaching there later. And we went to other talks. And I learned that when he talks about surrender, he simply means allowing the universe to flow. He means instead of fighting what comes or pushing for things to go your way, no, no, I really want it this way, you just let. So when we got offered the administrators of Spiritual Light Center, instead of fighting or saying, no, I want this, we just, okay. And we always have things that we want, but we instead have to just allow. The thing is that we have to learn is how to be okay when your mind is not okay, which is exactly what I was saying when I'm like, oh my gosh, look what I look like in the mirror. I don't want to wear this. You have to learn to be okay when your mind is telling you something else. And you have to learn to be okay when your heart is not okay. And Mickey would say that you can take that emotion, whatever it is, and realize that you are not the emotion. That was one of the most profound things I heard. I felt, because when you have emotion, it kind of feels like that's you, that's me. I am anger. I am frustration, but it's an emotion. It's a thing you have and you can allow it to move through you, flow through you. That's not you. You have emotions. You are not them. And instead of getting stuck, it's learning to allow the universe to unfold and let life happen. He would always say, get up in the morning and be like, the universe is unfolding. Dig it. He said we are addicted to our thoughts, and I can definitely tell you this is true. I know that we can get stuck repeating something in our heads. I was just talking about that earlier. For me, I have children, and my children repeat this back to me. They show this. They call me and are say, I think this or what, I'm worried about this, and they get that stuck in their head, and then they're just focused on my neck looks weird. What's this bump on my hand? What if I do this, you know? And instead you have to just like, let it go. And and you have to learn that the more you pay attention to those stuck things in your head, the more they stay there. So the more I focus on perhaps, you know, I don't know, not looking good in my clothes today. And I repeat that and I repeat that and I do that every day. Then when my mind is quiet and has nothing to do, it's like, okay, what's my default thinking? Oh yeah, that. And it starts thinking that again. So you have to like allow yourself to kind of let go of that. How can we change or free ourselves from this addiction to our thoughts? He would tell you to meditate. Learn to be practice being the watcher, the person back here. Watching the thoughts in your head, the one who notices those thoughts, right? So are we the thoughts Or are we the one who notices the thoughts? Practice being that person that notices them, and don't try not to be attached. So you can have the thoughts and they can go down that train of road or wherever and take where, but you don't have to hop on that train. You can let go. That's how we surrender. We allow for the flow of the universe. Instead of wishing the weather was different, I wish it wasn't raining today. I wish that mud would go away. I mean, but if it wasn't raining, then my plants wouldn't grow, right? If it wasn't raining, then what would happen to our rivers if it never rained? He used to say, those people that are like, oh my gosh, it's raining on my birthday. I just wish it wouldn't rain my birthday. Or it's raining and I had a picnic to go to today. He's like, imagine if you went to the picnic. So there's that. It's raining and I had a picnic to go to and I'm so mad. And then there's the, I went to the picnic and it's raining. And oh my gosh, I'm so glad it's raining because the guy I brought to the picnic is a schmuck and I just want to go home. So instead of fighting against what is actually happening, just, you know, be, allow it. You can't let things change. The things that are happening outside are happening. You are not the center of the universe. And so instead of living a life of like and dislike, I only like and I only dislike, I only want it this way or this way. Instead of living it black and white, learn to be happy with the gray, the whatever, whatever is given to you. When you wake up in the morning and you're there, I'm back. I'm happy. Amazing. He also used to say he went and learned about a robot and they were making a robot and they were trying to figure out all the things that is necessary to get you up out of bed in the morning. And the robot had so many different actions just to go from lying down to sitting up. And how easy is that for us? Like, we have these amazing bodies that we're given. And instead of fighting against our lives, we should just allow. And so I'm just going to end with a couple quotes from him. You are the most beautiful thing that has ever existed. You are a great being. If you don't resist, life is beautiful. Everything is awesome. Everything is what it is. Things are what they are, and it has nothing to do with you. And that's my speech. Thank you.